Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and we are at the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Beis Benois Tzlavcha. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesuna Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shleima for Rivka Bas Rachel. So we're moving along in Perek Yesh Neichlin, which of course deals with the laws of Nachlois Yerusha, stating that this new Mishnah is really going to usher in a whole new discussion that's going to be melava us through the next several dafin, and that is a detailed discussion of the Nachala and the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. So the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the Midbar for 40 years, and then they entered Eretz Yisrael and were given a chelek, a nachla, a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Exactly how Eretz Yisrael was divided and subdivided amongst the Shvatim is something that the Torah talks about, but something that the Tanan further debated, and that whole backdrop plays itself out here in the middle of Yesh Neichlin, and it begins with this Mishnah that we're about to learn right now. Zok the Hilge Mishnah. B'noi Slavchad, Notlu Gimel Chalakim, B'nachala. They took three Chalakim, meaning three portions in Eretz Yisrael. So the Parsha of Nachlois is really preceded by the B'noi Slavchad coming to Moshe Rabbeinu. They're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And they tell him, Lama Yigara, why should we lose out? We don't have any chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure whether they should have a chelik, they shouldn't have a chelik. Is there Yerusha Sabas? Is there not Yerusha Sabas? So Moshe Rabbeinu was Vayakriv Mishpatam Lefnei Hashem. Came B'noi Slavchad Doivrois Yo'us, like Targum Unkelah says, and they were given a portion. So how much Eretz Yisrael did they get? Says the Mishnah, they got Gimel Chalakim Benachlo. They got three portions. Now, how big is a portion? That's a whole nother discussion. But for now, they got three portions. Chelek Aviyim, Shehoya Im Yoytzei Mitzrayim. They got the portion that their father was entitled to get, because their father, Slavchad, was one of the Yidden that had left Mitzrayim. As a result, he was entitled to a chelik. He's entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Additionally, v'chelkoi im echav b'nichsei chefer. Slavchad's father, Chefer, was also one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And as a result, he too was entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Slavchad had a schus to Yarshin, that portion that his father Chefer was supposed to have had. The B'noi Slavchad now Yarshined that chelik from Slavchad, and as a result, they now have a second portion. Zok the Mishnah, v'shahoyu b'char, noitel shnei chalakim. Slavchad was Chefer's b'char, and as a result, Slavchad wasn't just entitled to one portion, one chelik of what Chefer was supposed to get, but rather he was entitled to a double portion. As a result, they too got that double portion from their father, Slavchad. Back of the envelope arithmetic, Slavchad's chelik, Chefer's chelik, a double portion in Chefer's chelik, and as a result, what they end up with is really Gimel Chalakim. So the B'noi Slavchad were not Gimel Chalakim Benachla, they got what Slavchad was supposed to get, because Slavchad himself was one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Additionally, they got two chalakim of Chefer's chelik. He too was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. As a result, he too is entitled to a portion. Now, Chefer left over a bunch of children, and the children divided whatever his chelik was supposed to be. But Slavchad, being the Bechar, is entitled to a double chelik. As a result, those are the additional two chalakim that ultimately come to the B'noi Slavchad. So what's the Gimel Chalakim? It's the Chelik of Slavchad, who has a Yichus Atzmi, because he's one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And then it's two Chalakim of the Nichsei Chefer. How do they come to the Nichsei Chefer? Because they Yarshin it from their father, Slavchad, who Yarshins it from Chefer. Why do they get two portions? their father is only one of the sons because he's a Bechar, and the rule is that a Bechar is Neutel Shnei Chalakim. So there's a lot to unpack over here, Kamuvin, and this is all going to be discussed in the next several dafim. But the Gemara begins with a very, very astute observation in the Mishnah. That is Tanan, our Stam Mishnah is Kemando Amal Yotzim Mitzrayim Neschalkar. It's going according to the opinion that holds that when the land of Eretz Yisrael was divided, it was divided amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So the Gemara now is going to bring a big machloikis tanam, exactly how Eretz Yisrael was divided. In fact, from a high level, we're going to see there are two opinions. When you go into it in a little bit more of a detailed level, we're going to see there are really three opinions. The high level is, was Eretz Yisrael divided amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim, or was Eretz Yisrael divided amongst the Boyei Ha'aretz? So unfortunately, the Yidden that left Mitzrayim were for the most part not the Yidden that entered Eretz Yisrael. In fact, any Yid that was 20 years or older when he left Mitzrayim died in the Midbar because of the Gzeiras HaMeraglim. And as a result, he wasn't alive 40 years later when the Yidden actually entered Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is not the way it was supposed to be. The Yidden that left Mitzrayim was supposed to be the Boyei Ha'aretz, but Bitayinasu Oisei Yasser Pamim, and of course, the climax of that was the Chet of the Meraglim, and as a result, a very, very big chelik of the Yidden that had left Mitzrayim, all the Yidden, Zulasi, Kalev ben Yefun of Yeshua ben Nun, that were between the ages of 20 and 60 that left Mitzrayim, didn't actually make it into Eretz Yisrael. And the question is like this: Eretz Yisrael that was given to this generation, was it given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, or was it given to the Boyei Ha'aretz? Now, it's obviously a nafkamina in terms of how the land is going to be apportioned. It's not enough gemina in terms of who's going to actually get the land, because the Yotzei Mitzrayim, if they're not alive, can't get the land. Ultimately, the Boyei Ha'aretz are the ones that got the land. The question is, when we figure out the formula and the methodology in terms of how to apportion the lands, is it per Yotzei Mitzrayim? Is that the method? Or is it per Boyei Ha'aretz? Is that the method? And as we're about to see right now, there's mashmois in the psukim that maybe it was for the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and there's mashmois in the psukim that maybe it was for the Boyei Ha'aretz. Now these psukim, and really where this battle plays itself out, battle meaning the Milchamta Shel Torah amongst the Tanam, trying to figure out if it was the Yotzei Mitzrayim Neschalk Aretz, or it was to the Boyei Ha'aretz Neschalk Aretz, are psukim tucked away in the middle of Parshas Pinchas. So when you think of Parshas Pinchas, I'll speak for myself, I think of two things. I think of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen Heshev Es Chamasi, right? You think of Kanan Poygen Boy, the whole story of Pinchas, that's the beginning of the Parsha. And then you think of Ko'elet, right? You think of the end of the Parsha, all the Mayadim. You think of all the Mafters that you have on Yontif. That's usually what you think of when you think of Parshas Pinchas. But the truth is, tucked away in the middle of Parshas Pinchas, we have the Parsha of Chalukas Haaretz. In fact, it's a very, very long parasha. It's Perik Chav Vav. I mean, the psukim we're going to be handling now are Pasuk Nun Gimel, Pasuk Nun Hey. So this is a very long perik. It's many, many psukim. The perik begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe to go count the Jews. Lefi the Shevet, we figure out how many Yidden there are, and now these Yidden are going to enter the land. There's going to be a Goyrel, there's going to be an Orim V'tumim, there's going to be Yeshua Ben Nun, there's going to be a Lazar Kohen Gadol, right? This is ready after the Chet of the Me'merivah, so Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen are not going to be the ones that are going to oversee the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. And then there's different cryptic psukim that talk about exactly how the land is going to be divided. So to those psukim, which is, we are the big machloikis tanon in terms of how Chalukas Haaretz played itself out. Says the Gemara. Unzer Mishnah is tanan command amal yetsim Mitzrayim nischal garz. It's certainly going in accordance to the mandama that holds that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the yetsim Mitzrayim. So what's this machloikis tanya? We learn to the brayz. Rabbi Yoshi, I mean Rabbi Yoshi said the yetsim Mitzrayim nischal garz. The land was divided to the yetsim Mitzrayim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ach. Begoyrol yecholik es haaretz lishmois matois avoisam yinchol. So the Yidden that are entering the land are going to get land per the shevet they're in. But the pasuk doesn't just say per the shevet they're in. It doesn't say lishmois matois. Matois meaning the shevet. But what it says is lishmois matois avoisam per the shevet of their father. The word avoysam, this is the way the Mefarshei Chumash explained this Gemara, seems to be extra. L'shmois matos avoysam, l'shmois matos yincholu. V'kumterayin avoysam. So Rabbi Yoshiya said, you know what that word is probably coming to teach me? That you know who the land was given to? It wasn't given to these chevra that were entering the land. It was actually given to avoysam. It was given to the Yotze Mitzrayim. As if to say, if you left Mitzrayim, you have a ticket. You have a schus now to get a chelik in Eretz. Now again, how that gets divided and what a ticket means in the Olam HaMaisa, we're going to have to get to that. But for right now, what gives you one schus for a parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael? The fact that you're one of the Yotze Mitzrayim. How do you know that? Because the Yidden that are going to get the land, the Pasuk says, are going to get l'shmois matos avoysam. What does avoysam have to do with anything? But the Teretz says, because really they're yarshining ke'ilu the schus from the Yotze Mitzrayim. Now again, the Yotze Mitzrayim are for the most part not around anymore. But it goes over Be'erusha. They're the ones that had this chos. Says Rabbi Yoshiya, Elamani Mekayim Le'elo Techole Ka'aretz. There's another pasuk in that same parasha that says Le'elo Techole Ka'aretz. Benachalo B'mispah Shemes. What does it sound like? Le'elo Techole Ka'aretz. It sounds like it's given to them. So the Gemara says, you want to know what it means? What that word means is Le'elo Ka'elo. It's coming to teach me something. Lohitzi es hatfala. What the pasuk is coming to say is that who were the Yidden that actually got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, who physically got land? Any Jew that walked into Eretz Yisrael was given a deed with him now having ownership of a piece of land? No, you had to be 20 years or older. That's clear. So says Rav Yoshiya that the pasuk of Lo'el is coming to teach me that just like the Yidden that physically got a piece of land had to be 20 years or older, so too when the land was divided, Lo'yotze Mitzrayim, it meant somebody that was 20 years old when he left Mitzrayim. So the land was divided amongst the Yotze Mitzrayim, but you have to read the not such fine print. How old did you have to be when you left Mitzrayim in order to get a ticket, in order to be entitled to one chelik in Eretz Yisrael? You had to be at least 20 years old. How do I know it was divided amongst the Yotze Mitzrayim, l'shmois matos avoysam yincholu? How do I know you had to be 20 years old? Le'ele techolik aretz benachlo, le'ele ke'oile, lo'itzi es atfolim. If you're not 20, you're still Tfalim, you're still Lashon Taf, right? You're still considered a child in some sugis and shas, and the bottom line is you were not included. Either way, this is the first shita. This is Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Leboye Haaretz is chalkar." It's not. The land was divided amongst the Boye Haaretz. So, in order to get a ticket, in order to have a schus in Eretz Yisrael, the criteria was not you left Mitzrayim, or you were 20 years old or older when you left Mitzrayim, but rather if you entered Eretz Yisrael, you were given a ticket. So the tickets were determined and handed out at the time that Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that? Says Rabbi Yonasan Shenema. The pasuk says, "Lo'ela techalei ka'aretz benachlo." It's that second pasuk that Rabbi Yoshiya quoted. Elamani mekayim l'shmois matos avoysam yincholu. What about that word? Meaning, it sounds a little bit like the avos. The Yotze Mitzrayim played a role over here. What role did they play? If it was not neschalkel Yotze Mitzrayim, it was neschalkel abayi aretz. So, what role are they playing? Said Rabbi Yonasan, "Mishuna nachla zumi kol nachla shavayim." You want to know what that pasuk is coming to tell me? It's coming to tell me that this nachla, the nachla of the boye haaretz entering Eretz Yisrael and inheriting the land, was different than every other nachla in the entire world. Mikol nachla shavayim. You can go from sea to shining sea. You're never going to find a nachla that's like this nachla. This nachla is keren mishuna from all the other nachlas. How so? Shakol nachla shavayim chayin yorshin mason. Every single nachla in the world, how does it work? The live inherit from the dead. Up at the Khan over here, Mason Yarshim Chaim. Over here was in the reverse. Over here, the Mason were Yairish the Chaim. So what does this mean? So over here, there's a long Rashbam that explains Pashup Shat and Shitas Rabbi Yonasan. And this is by far the confusing part of today's daf. It's not that confusing, but a little bit confusing. And that is as follows. Rabbi Yonasan said that the land was divided per Boye Yaretz. So, what gave a Yid a schus to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? The fact that he's one of the Yidden that are about to enter Eretz Yisrael. You have to be 20 years or older, you have to be a male. But as long as you fit that criteria, you now are going to have a schus to be able to yarshin a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Stating that, the way the Yerusha worked was not that, oh, if I'm entering the land, I get a chelik. And if you're entering the land, you get a chelik. But rather, any person that's about to enter the land is granted a chelik, right now in the hypothetical. That chelik then is inherited by his father or grandfather, who's one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then the one that's entering Eretz Yisrael goes and inherits it back from his father or Zayda, the one that left Mitzrayim. So it's like a double Yerusha. The Chelik is given to the Boya Ha'aretz, it then reverts back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then the Boya Ha'aretz, Sim Tzveitamo, ends up getting it from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. But where it's Meshunah Nachlazum, we call Nachla Shabbalaylam, is because of that middle step. Because ordinarily, Chayim are Yershin Mesim, and over here, there's also the component where the Mesim are being Yerush Lechayim. So a few things, just to understand the Pshut HaShal Mikra over here. Number one, how would that play itself out in the Olam HaMaisa? So the way the Rashbam explains it is, let's say you would have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon were both Yotzei Mitzrayim. And they had families when they were in the Midbar. Reuven had 10 sons, and Shimon had one son. Now, let's think. If you hold the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Schalka Aretz, so Reuven left Mitzrayim, Shimon left Mitzrayim, Reuven gets a chelik, Shimon gets a chelik. When the Yidden enter Eretz Yisrael, so Reuven and Shimon are not alive anymore, they died because of the Gzeiras HaMeraglim, their sons now inherit their chelik. Reuven's 10 sons are going to divide Reuven's chelik into 10 pieces, and Shimon's one son is going to get Shimon's entire chelik. That's the way it would play itself out if you held the Yotzei Mitzrayim. If you held the Boya Ha'aretz without the Meshunah Nachlazum, we call Nachlash Shabbalaylam, so what would happen? Reuven's 10 sons would each be entitled to a chelik, and Shimon's one son would be entitled to a chelik. In other words, Reuven's children would end up getting 10 times the amount of Shimon's one child would get. But that's not what happens. What happens is Reuven's 10 sons are entitled to 10 chalakim. Shimon's one son is entitled to one chelik. What we then do is we take the 10 plus 1 chalakim, the 11 chalakim, and we are meirish it. We manchal it back to Reuven and Shimon together, so that Reuven and Shimon, the two brothers, now inherit the 11 chalakim from their two sons respectively. Now, those 11 chalakim end up being divided back by Reuven and Shimon's children, but they get divided equally. Because if Reuven and Shimon, Beshutfis, own these 11 chalakim, and now Reuven and Shimon are being manchel, so Reuven's children are going to get half, and Shimon's child is going to get half. So that Reuven's 10 children are going to end up getting half of the 11 chalakim, which is 5.5 chalakim, and Shimon's one child is going to get half of the 11 chalakim, which is also 5.5 chalakim. So this is not Liyotze Mitzrayim, because if it's Liyotze Mitzrayim, then you'd be dealing with two chalakim. It's L'Boya Ya'aretz. That's why the number is 11 chalakim. But it's not Mamish L'Boya Ya'aretz without this super-duper Yerusha, because if it was Mamish L'Boya Ya'aretz, then it would be 11 chalakim where the division is 10 and 1. Each child would be entitled to one chalak, assuming he's 20 years or older. What happens is, it's 11 chalakim based on L'Boya Ya'aretz, but at the same time, Reuven's 10 sons get 5.5, Shimon's one son gets 5.5, and the reason is because Meshunah Nachlazum, we call Nachlash Shabbalah. Because each one has a ticket now, so they have 11 tickets. Reuven and Shimon together yarshin the 11 tickets, and then they moirish it back, and they moirish it as if each one owns half. Thus, Reuven's family gets half, Shimon's family gets half, and it's for that reason it ends up being a situation where each child is going to get 5.5 chalakim. Now, says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Emshel chamashal l'mal davar davar. Now, I want to explain this to you in a mashal, because you're probably squirming a little bit right now and raising an eyebrow or two, right? Like, what does this even mean? There has to be a little bit of a dubna magid mashal to try to explain this a little bit, that maybe we'll be able to deher and be oimid abyssal besser of the nimshal. So Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, let me explain to you in a mashal. L'mal davar davar, l'shnei achim, there were two brothers. Kayanim, and they were both kayanim. Shoyi v'rachas, they lived in the same city. One of them had one son, and the other one had two sons. And the two Kehanim brothers sent their sons, respectively, to go to the Geirin, to go collect the Chumas and Maisers that they're entitled to. It's presumable that the brother that had one son that son was able to take one chalik, and the one that had two sons, the two sons were probably able to take two chalakim, right? Assuming that they're equally as savvy in terms of being able to collect chumas u'maisos. That u'machzir neitzel avim, when they come back to their father, what are the fathers going to do? V'chayzim v'chalakim v'shava. They're going to divide it equally. And the reason they're going to divide it equally is because that's just the story. The story is where the two brothers basically made up that let's go tzizamen and figure this out. I'll send my son, you send your sons, and b'shutfis, we'll figure this out, then we're going to divide everything. So even though one sent one son, the other sent two sons, and one came with one chalak and the other came with two chalakim, at the end of the day, what was the cheshbon? The cheshbon was, I'm going to take half, and you're going to take half. So too, Nachlas Eretz Yisrael worked in the same way. We looked at the Bayhei Eretz as the sons, the shikingles, literally, that went to the Goyrin to go chapa Nachla, but they bring it back to the father, and when they bring it back to the father, or the fathers, they divide it equally. They're the two Achim, Reuben and Shimon, the two brothers are like the Shnei Achim in Rebbe's Moshel. And as a result, it ends up being 5.5, 5.5. Just like in the Moshel, it's 1.5, 1.5. So too, in our story with Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, it ends up being 5.5 and 5.5. Now, what's the lumdus? So the Rashbam says the lumdus is, in Rebbe's Moshel, what was the gather of these sons that were going to the Goyrim to go chap the Matnas Kahuna? They were acting as shluchim for their fathers, respectively. So as much as the farmer that's in his barn right now, when he's handing over the barley, who's he giving it to? He's giving it to these kids. But it's begeder shluchai shel adam kamoisei, they're taking it really for their fathers. The boy ha'yaret, says the Rashbam, were behaving as shluchim for the Yotze Mitzrayim. And that's the yisoid here of Meshuna Nachla Zumichol Nachla Shabbalim. It's not so much that the Mesim are being Yerush Tachayim, because that really doesn't make any sense. The Gede HaDvarim is more that we look at the Bay Yoretz as Shluchim for the Yoretz Mitzrayim, but the Shluchim on behalf of their fathers, and the fathers are somehow working in tandem, and if they're brothers, what's going to end up happening is they're going to divide it after they get it. And that's why, if one had 10 sons, one had one son, in totality it's 11, it's going to be 5.5 to this brother, it's going to be 5.5 to the other brother. This is the Pshutei Shalmikra of the Gemara. But you have to understand this on a slightly deeper level, and deep, not in terms of Pnimiya Satayra, deep in terms of Oymik Pshutei Shalmikra. You just have to understand a little bit, Pashup Shat, what's going on over here. Right, there's a very big distinction between Rebbe's Moshel and the Nimshel. In Rebbe's Moshel, there were two brothers that got together, and they said, we're brothers, let's make a shutfis. Let's go into business together. And the business is, we're going to send our sons, let them go out, let them be our shluchim, let them get matnas kahuna. They're going to bring back the goods, and we're going to divide it equally amongst ourselves. If one had one son, the other had two sons, they end up with three, they divided 1.5 and 1.5. Is that what happened when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael? Who made up the shutfis? I'll tell you better. Who decided that the brothers should... What brothers have to do with anything? I don't know, maybe the Bayi Yaretz should get all of Eretz Yisrael, be manchalit, Meshuna Nachazum, we call Nachshabayim, to all the Yotzim Mitzrayim, and then all the Yotzim Mitzrayim should subdivide it. Maybe it should work based on the Shevet. It sounds like it's brothers. Now, in Rebbe's Mashal, it was brothers, but Lechetesi. How did Rebbe know that it should be brothers? Maybe a whole bunch of cousins got together, and they made up this whole deal. So the way Nachas Eretz Yisrael should have been, it goes back to all the cousins, and they subdivided. Brothers man dechar shmei. It's a pliat suma. Because Reuben and Shimon are brothers, so Reuben's children and Shimon's children are going to now take whatever they yarshin, pool it together, and then redivided. Where does brothers get involved in this situation? How do you know it's brothers? Because the Gemara says it's brothers. But Mechatesi, this is really the way it's supposed to be. The truth is, if you look at Rashi and Chumash, Rashi and Parshas Pinchas, on this pasuk, L'shmois Matris Avoisim, this is one of the two psukim that our whole sugya pivots around. So Rashi says it a little bit differently. Rashi says as follows, L'shmois Matris Avoisim, I'm reading Rashi in Chumash, it's Perek Chavav Pasuk Nunhe, Parshas Pinchas. Shina HaKos of Nachla Zumi Kola Nachla Shebetayr. The Torah was Mishana, this Nachla, from all the Nachlas in the Torah. Shekol HaNachlois, when it comes to all Nachlois, HaChayim Yorshin Es HaMes. V'kan, Abedah, Yorsh, Mesim Yorshin Es HaChay. Here the Mesim will Yorsh the Chay. Ketzad, ready for Rashi? Here's Rashi's story. Shnei Achim Yotzei Mitzrayim. There were two brothers that left Mitzrayim. Shehayu lehem bonim b'bayei ha'aretz. And they had sons that entered Eretz Yisrael. L'ze echad u'l'ze shloisha. Rashi's case is a little different than the Rashban's case. One had one son, the other one had three sons. Ha'echad notal chelak echad. V'ashloisha notal shloisha. Shenema le'elot echalik ha'aretz. So Rashi is being mefarish to pasuk, really, the boy arts. So Rashi starts l'shmois matis avoysam. Elu Yotzei Mitzrayim. And then Rashi starts telling Ashitas Rabbi Yonason and Arsugya that really the land was divided amongst the Bayards. Okay, so again, two brothers left Mitzrayim. One of them had one son in the Midbar, the other had three sons in the Midbar. They were Bayei Aretz. The brothers themselves were not Bayei Aretz. Okay, so one's going to get one chelot, the other's going to get three chalakim. So far, so good. Chazra Nachlason Eitzel. Here's the punchline. Avi Haviyam. The Nachla, the one in the three, goes back to their Zeda. Not the two brothers, but to the two brothers' father. The Chalku Akel B'Shava. And then they divide everything equally. The Zeu Shenemar. That's what the pasuk means when it says, L'shmois Matas Havoisam Yun Cholosh. Ach, Hashanotu Habonim. After the Bonim got their Chelik, Chalkua L'fiha Avay Sheyatza Mitzrayim. They divided it Kifi. The ones that were Yotzei Mitzrayim. Now, the Ilam Etchila Chilku Laminyan Yotzei Mitzrayim, Zok Rashi, had they divided it L'chatchila amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim, Lo Hayu Noitan Elu Haraba Elu Shnei Chalakim. Achshav Notu Abra Chalakim. Now they end up taking four Chalakim. But Rashi, and Rashi's a little bit hard to understand, but Rashi seems to add one Kinech to the narrative. Rashi says that the two, or in Rashi's case, the four, in the Rashbam's case, the 11 children that are Bayei Aretz, that get a ticket, when they're manchalit back, they're actually not being manchalit back to their fathers that are brothers. You know they're being manchalit back to? They're being manchalit back to their Zeda. And it's the Zeda that has that one chelik. The Zeda then is manchalit to his two sons. Oh, and then the two sons are manchalit to their sons, respectively. And that's why it ends up being five and a half, five and a half. Or in Rashi's case, two and two. That's why it ends up getting divided that way. So the mason that were Yerush to Chaim is not the two brothers that are being Yerush their children, but it's the Zeda. And that makes sense. Because if the Zeda is from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so he Be'etzim has a schus to be a Yerush. The Zeda is ma'achri this entire family. He's the patriarch, right? He's the Yoshev Rosh in this Choshev Hashayna Mishpacha. So it's very musbir why everything should be divided amongst his family. How? Well, he had two sons. Okay, so his two sons now get each one half, and then their sons are going to end up taking each half. So if one has 10 sons, one has one son, it's no different than if a Zeda dies, has two sons, and one of the two sons has a large family, the other one has a small family, the large family is going to have to subdivide it more, then the smaller family is going to have to subdivide it. So the Cheshbon is not that it's reverting back to the brothers. The Cheshbon is it's actually reverting back to the Zeda, trickling through the brothers, funneling itself back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And that actually makes a lot more sense. Now, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. We're not learning Chumash Rashi now, but this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Where it gets a little bit tricky, in Rashi's story, so for sure the Zeda is from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, meaning he was 20 years or older when he left Mitzrayim. Were the fathers also 20 years or older? It's much easier if the fathers are not 20 years or older. So they Be'etzim didn't have a Schus to Yarshin. This whole Yerusha is really coming from the Zeda. If the whole Yerusha is coming from the Zeda, HaKol Yavayam V'Kayim V'Shalom. If they're 20 years or older, it's a drop trickier. Take a look at all the Mefarshei Rashi. Utehene Ruchachem. But the bottom line is, that's what's going on over here. Now, why did I speak out Rashi and Chumash? Farfing over here, Bekiyas. Rashi and Chumash. It's a pashut because a yid learned chumash Rashi, but the real reason is because Tosfos quotes Rashi and Chumash. The top Tosfos on the Yomid. Tosfos brings this Rashi. Tosfos says befirish chumash pirish Rashi. It's not a lot of Rashi quoted by Tosfos in Bava Basra because the whole Bava Basra commanders the Rashbam. But Tosfos brings Rashi's pshat, and Tosfos acknowledges that Rashi's pshat has a certain gishmak to it. There's a certain chait to it. It just, in Pshutei Shel Mikra, it seems to make a little bit more sense. But Tosfos is ma'ir a little bit what we talked about on Rashi. And because of that, Tosfos brings from the Riva that the Riva held not that way. The Riva said, no, it doesn't go back to the Zeda. It goes back to the brothers. Aye, what's the Pshat? Why would it go back to the brothers? Said the Riva, it's a Gzeres HaKasev. Where's the Gzeres HaKasi? You have a steer between two psukim. I have a pasuk that says Bay Yaretz. I have a pasuk that says Yaretz Mitzrayim. Chazal had a Messiah that there's some steer over here, and the way you have to reconcile the steer is it goes to the Bay Yaretz, meaning each one of the Bay Yaretz gets a ticket, but then they're manchal back to the Yaretz Mitzrayim. And, and what's the Cheshma B'mayim? You manchal back to brothers. Why brothers? Akash of Amaisa, but it's Gzeres HaKasi. Tais then brings a different pshat from Rabbeinu Tam. So this Toysfus over here is a fest of Toysfus. Sign when you're learning Baba Basar Kufi Yitzayin and Madalam. Sign when you're trying to understand one of the parashas. She's in the Torah, the parashah of the Chalukas Haaretz, and also when you're learning Chumash Rasha, if you go through Rashi and Chumash, here you have a Tosfos and Shas, where Tosfos mefakdik very much on Rashi. Again, we just did a little bit of a Toya Mel, what's going on over here. But just one thing I think is worth mentioning before we go weiter, and that is, Kan HaBen Shoyal. Why did we do it in this way? Like, what is the reason for this? You want to tell me the Yotz Mitzrayim? I hear. You want to tell me the Bayi Haaretz? I hear. But what is this all? Just to confuse us, right? This seems like it required a spreadsheet with an algorithm. It needed an actuary to try to figure out, like, why are we doing it in this funny way? Like, why are we complicating something simple, right? In life, sometimes life is simpler when you keep it simple. So why are we complicating something? You want it to be the Yotz Mitzrayim? I have no problem nodding my head. But Yaretz makes perfect sense. I mean, you have a choice, see? But this just seems to be very complicated. So what's Pashup Shat? So if you look in the Mefarshe Rashi Alatayra, so I saw two Mahalchim. In the Sifsei Chachamim, of an art, the Sifsei Chachamim says, the reason is as follows. Nira Hatam, Mishum Dechol Dibot Sheyotzim Yipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Toyve Einoi Chayza. Anytime HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a word, it has to play itself out. Now, only L'Toyva, it has to play itself out. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah Ki Yodua, that a Nevuah L'Rah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could be Mahapech. What's a perfect example of that? The Nevuah of Nineveh. But a Nevuah L'Toyva, that always plays itself out. V'hocha hiftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu liten liyotzim Mitzrayim as Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already promised that the Yotzim Mitzrayim were going to get Eretz Yisrael. Now, what happened? Umesu kulam Midbar. But they all ended up dying in the Midbar. So really, the generation that left Mitzrayim never had a schus to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Lochein says the Sifsei Chachamim haflo. Tziva Hashem Yisbarach shetachzor hanachlo liyotzim Mitzrayim. Vehem yanchilu as b'neim. The reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they were going to get it. Now, it just so happens they sinned, and because they sinned, they ended up dying. And because they ended up dying, they weren't around to merit to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. But Adibah was kumt arayis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'toivas Einoi Chayzer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt they have to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not around to get it. So you know what Eibush said? It's going to go to the Bayi Aretz because they're the only game in town. The Yotz Mitzrayim are not alive anymore. But they're going to get it. They're going to be manchal back to the Zaydis. The Zaydis just, they touched it for a minute. It sat in their account. Oh, we were Yotzim. They taka got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. I saw another pshat, and this is in the Be'er Mayim Chaim. So who's the Be'er Mayim Chaim? Wrong answer. The Be'er Mayim Chaim that I'm about to quote is the Be'er Mayim Chaim, which was written as a pirush on Rashi and Chumash by none other than Rabbeinu Chaim Rabbi Tzalom Friedberg, the Achi Amaral. So the Achi Amaral, we always quote his sefer, Sefer Achayim, and he Igeres Atil. He also wrote a sefer called Be'er Mayim Chaim. Alatayr. And the Sefer Ben Mayim Chaim Alatayr is a Pirush on Rashi. And on this Rashi here in Parashas Pinchas, he also asks this question. So this is from the Achi Amaral, we're quoting Kadmoinim. And from the Achi Amaral, he says as follows: V'gam ro'oi, she'oysen she'hoyu b'shibut golos Mitzrayim, she'yiu gam kem b'aftachas ha'aretz, mipnei she'heim poru ha'choyv kiger yezaracha. We know that in order for the Yidden to have been able to enter Eretz Yisrael, they had to first pay up a piece of debt. And that debt was, Yodoya Teda Kiger Yirzarach Be'eretz Loi Lahem Va'avodim V'inu Oysam Arba Meir Shana. And Va'achre Ken Yetzer B'chush Godel, eventually they would get Eretz Yisrael. But Chazal say in Etlecha places that Shibud Mitzrayim, the 400 years, the 430 years, the 210 years, the 86 years, the rega of Golus Mitzrayim, however long it was, Ayin B'Sfarim HaKadoshim, it was a Prius Chayv that the Yidden needed to pay. It was a debt that had to be made whole in order for the Yidden to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. We've spoken out many times at the Preskurov in Sefer, in Chedushe Moron Riz Halevi, Ala Torah, in Tzimparshas Lech Lecha. He says that why is it that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avram Avinu by the Bris Bein Avsarim, and he promised him, Ein Mo Fa'alam, that Avram Avinu would have children, that they would get Eretz Yisrael. He prefaced it by Sheba Mitzrayim. Yodoya teida ki ger yizaracha. He said because it was a tenai in Yerushas Haaretz. And in order for Avram Avinu to sign off on this deal, he had to know all the tenayim. Right, if somebody goes to a closing and he doesn't know all the different tenayim, and he signs a document, it's not a valid signature because you have to know all the different covenants in order for it to be in effect. Shibud Mitzrayim was a tenai, it was a covenant of Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. And that's why by the Bris Bein Absarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit murkies this Besura Toiva by telling him you should know 400 years of Shibud Mitzrayim. Couldn't the Eibishter find a better time to do it? Said Maran Ariz because it was a tenai in Yerushas Eretz. And Avram Avinu had to have das on the tenai. He had to sign off on the tenai. We once spoke out from the Mishnah Melech and the Parashas Drachim that says that it could be that's why Shevet Levi didn't have to be in the Shibud Mitzrayim. It's because Shevet Levi's ke'en loy chelik v'nachle imach. So they weren't going to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So in Mela they had no chiv to go ahead and sol up the chayv. It's all dvarim the flop. It says the Ber Maim Chaim Nachi Amaral. He said, who paid up the chayv? The Yotzim Mitzrayim paid up the chayv. If they paid up the chayv, it's only fair that they're going to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael as well. What? You're going to pay up the chayv and you're going to be the one that's going to get it. Now it's their children, it's their grandchildren. Oh, but fart. It wasn't fear that the Yotzim Mitzrayim, who were the ones that sold the chayv of Kiger Yizarach of Eretz Lehem, they shouldn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Meshun and Nachlazumi call Nachlash of Oilam. But either way, Dvarim the Flaim, in terms of why it would have been in such an interesting way in terms of understanding the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. The bottom line is, this is the second sheet in the Brayso. There's a third sheet as well. The first sheet is Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia said, L'yotzim Mitzrayim Nischal Karetz. That's very straightforward. If you were 20 years or older when you left Mitzrayim, you got a ticket, you got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, if you were 20 years or older when you entered Eretz Yisrael, you got a ticket. Stating that, you have to read the not such fine print. It goes back to the Zaydis, or the fathers, the brothers, back to you, and that's this whole catch. Shimon Elazar is the third sheet. He said, "Lo elu ule elu nischalka aretz." So what's choice C? It's all of the above. It went both. Kedei l'kayim shnei mekroyes halalu, and like this, he able to be mekayim both psukim. Yeah, that's for sure. You have a pasuk that's mashma liyotzim mitzrayim. You have a pasuk that's mashma laboya aretz. The best answer is it's both. Right? It's both. Okay, son. How does that play itself out? So Shimon Elazar explained, "Hayim liyotzim mitzrayim." If somebody was from the Yetzim Mitzrayim, Noitel Chelkom Yetzim Mitzrayim, you got a ticket. Hayim mi Boya Aretz. If you wanted the Boya Aretz, Noitel Chelkom Boya Aretz, you got a chelik of the Boya Aretz. Mikanu Mikan. Let's say you're from the Yetzim Mitzrayim and you're from the Boya Aretz. Now the Rashbam, by the way, we're not going to do this Rashbam today, but the Rashbam says, is it possible to be both? How could you be both? I thought anyone that was 20 years or older when they left Mitzrayim ended up dying by the Gzeiras HaMeraglim. But either way, let's say you're both, then Noitel Chelkom Mikan Umikan. You end up getting a chelik here and you end up getting a chelik there as well. So just to hit the pause button for 1 second, this is the third sheet. The third sheet is very straightforward. It's Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and that is that really it's both. If you're from Yotzim Mitzrayim, you have a schos. If you're from the Boi Yartz, you have a schos. And if you're from both, you end up having two schosim. So just coming back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, B'noi Slavcha Naklu Gimel Chandalakim Benachla. Chelik Aviyim, Shoyim Yotzim Mitzrayim, V'chelkoi im Echa b'nichsei Chefer, who was also one of the Yotzim Mitzrayim, v'shoyi b'char, noitel shnei chalakim, you get two chalakim. So the Gemara said, Tanan, who must the Stam Mishnah hold like? Kamanda Omer l'yotzim Mitzrayim nischalko aretz, right? Pretty straightforward. You see from the Mishnah that when the B'nai Slavchad are getting a chelik, what's the chelik that they're getting? Oh, we're going back. We're seeing. Who are the Yotzim Mitzrayim? Slavchad's a Yotzim Mitzrayim. He got a ticket. Chefer is a Yotzim Mitzrayim. And Slavchad yarshins him, and he gets Pishnaim, so you get another two chalakim. But the tickets are being apportioned to who? One is going to Slavchad, one's going to Chefer. Oh, you see, Liyotzim Mitzrayim, the Schalkars. The Rashbam makes another Gishmak observation, and that is, notice the Gemara didn't say, Tanan Kirib Yoshia. It says Tanan command Amal Yoytz Mitzrayim Nischal Karetz. And what's the reason for that? Because even though Rabbi Yoshi is the first shita in the Gemara that says Liyotz Mitzrayim Nischal Karetz, but there was a second shita that holds Liyotz Mitzrayim Nischal Karetz. Who is that? Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So really, our Mishnah could be going Sai according to Rabbi Yoshi, Sai according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and that's why the lashon of the Gemara is bediktok. Right? Usually we would say Tanan Rabbi Akiva. No, it's not what it says. It doesn't say Rabbi Yoshi. It says Kimandam Liyotz Mitzrayim Nischal Karetz. And really, who is the man da'amah that's liyotze Mitzrayim neschal ka'aretz? It's two man da'amrim. It's Sai, Rabbi Yoshia, and it's Sai, Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So we're just going to finish this braisa. We're still in the middle of a braisa. This is all one braisa. The whole daf was a braisa. So we're just going to finish this braisa, and tomorrow's daf, the Gemara, is going to discuss this braisa in greater detail. But just to fear ois with the words, miraglim, as it relates to the miraglim, Yeshua v'kolev natu chelkam. So whatever chelik the miraglim was supposed to get, Yeshua benun and kolev ben yefuna end up getting their chelik. Gemara's going to talk about this in tomorrow's daf. Misloininim v'adas kairach, as it relates to the misloininim and the adas kairach, see more about them in tomorrow's daf as well. They didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Habonim, their sons, their children, they could have gotten a chelik, but only through their zeta, through their father's fathers or through their mother's fathers. But a direct chelik that they couldn't get. One last piece. So, the whole premise of Liyotze Mitzrayim Neschal Ka'aretz, and by the way, just to be clear, even if you hold the Boy Aretz Neschal Ka'aretz, but even that Mandama agrees on some level with Liyotze Mitzrayim, and it's based on the Pasuk, L'shmois Matas Avoysom, Yinchalu, that the Yerusha is going to who? It's going to the Avoysom, and we're assuming that who's the Avoysom? The Avoysom are the Yotze Mitzrayim. The truth is, it doesn't say Yotze Mitzrayim, it just says Avoysom. The Gemara's Kash is, Dumal Shvatim Kamala. Maybe it was going back to the Shvatim. Now, what would be the Cheshman if it was going to the Shvatim? It's very simple. There's 12 Shvatim, right? Now, the truth is, are the 12 Shvatim? One Shevet's not getting a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Levi's not. But there's Shevet Yosef that's really being divided into two, Ephraim and Menashe. Right? That's the Ramban al HaTorah. It says there's always 12 Shvatim. Like, Klai Yisrael is always made up of 12 Shvatim. Sometimes Levi is one of the 12 Shvatim. When Levi's one of the 12 Shvatim, Yosef is one. If Levi is not included in one of the 12 Shvatim, then Yosef gets divided into two. It becomes Ephraim and Menashe. But either way, you'll divide Eretz Yisrael into 12 equal parts. Maybe that's the way this is supposed to work. So the Gemara says, no, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, V'nosati oisolochem moirosha ani Hashem. Now, this is a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. This is the fifth lashon of Geula, the lashon that we're waiting for. And the pasuk says that Hashem says to these Yidin, "V'nasati oisa lochem moirosha ani Hashem." I'm giving it to you as a moirosha. Thus says Yerusha hi lochem me avoseichem. You are inheriting the land from your Zedis, from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Who's the you? Meaning, who's this pasuk talking to? The Yotz Mitzrayim Kamalu. The Yotz Mitzrayim. So you see, the Yotz Mitzrayim already had as a Mayrasha. So they already got it. Meaning, it went from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov to the Shvatim. In Parashas Va'era, in the pasuk of Eivesi, it already is chal. It touches down by the Yotz Mitzrayim. Meaning, at that point, if you're going to be talking to a later generation, and you're going to say, L'shmois matas avoysam yinchalu, who are those avoysam going to be? Those avoysam are going to be the Yotze Mitzrayim exhale. So just to end with one ha'ara that's not mamish related to today's daf, but it's really related to today's daf and the next several daf, and that we're going to learn from a high level, because really we're getting into Chalukas Ha'aretz and this whole parsha. It's a whole segment of the Torah, Perek Chavav in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Pinchas, and I just think it's kedai to talk a little bit about this inyan with one Dover Nifla at the end. And that is, so the psukim that the Tanoim debated in today's daf, as we said, come from Parshas Pinchas. Perek Chavav. Now, if you look at the beginning of Perek Chavav, the Perek begins as follows. Vayihi acharei ha-magefa. It was after the magefa. What do you mean, vayihi acharei ha-magefa? It's right after the story of Pinchas ben Elazar and Aharon HaKohen. By the way, Perek Chavav and Parshas Pinchas, just to demonstrate how not tucked away this is, it's before Sheni. not even holding by Sheni yet. But either way, Vayihi Achrei HaMagefa, Vayom Hashem El Moshe, Ve'el Elazar Ben Aharon HaKoyin Leimor, and Hashem comes to Moshe and to Elazar Ben Aharon HaKoyin, he tells him, Su'u Es Roish Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, I want you to count the Jews, Mi Ben Esrim Shana V'mailo, Leveis HaVoysam, Kol Yoytzei Tzavah B'Yisrael. I want you to go ahead, I want you to count all the Yidden, Vayedaber Moshe Velazar Akoyin Oysam Arvas Mayav. This is all in Arvas Mayav. Al Yarden Yurechai. That's where they are. Lemar Mi Ben Esrim Shana V'Maylo. Kashatziv Hashem As Moshe Bnei Yisrael Yoytzim Beretz Mitzrayim. And then you have all the psukim and our tremendous arichos where Moshe and Elazar are counting the Yidden. Ruvein Bechar Yisrael Bnei Ruvein Chanoich Mishpachas Achanoichi Lefalu Mishpachas Apalui Lechetzrei Mishpachas Achetzreini, etc. It's pasuk after pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, and all the Yidden end up being counted. The last pasuk is Eile Pekudei Bnei Yisrael. How many Yidden were there? Sheish Meos Elef, 600,000, the Aleph, and 1,000, Shvam Meir, so Shloshim, 730. So it's 601,730. And we're holding now by Pasuk Nun Beis. So Pasuk Aleph and Perek Chavavos, Vahi Achrei HaMagefa, Vayom Hashem Al Moshe, V'Lozim Ben Haran HaKoyin Leimor, go count the Jews. Pasuk Nun Aleph, we finished the census. So it took 51 psukim to go through this. And in Pasuk Nun Aleph, we have our number, 601,730. Pasuk Nun Beis, Vayedaber Hashem Al Moshe Leimor, Le'ela Techolei Ka'oretz Benachala, B'mispar Shemois. I want Eretz Yisrael to be divided lo eila to these chaver. This was the pasuk that the Gemara brought that lebaye aretz neschal. You just counted up the Jews, 601,730. Right, males between the ages of Peseda. Okay, so from 20 years and old. So you know the cheshbin of the yidden, and to these yidden you're going to go and you're going to divide. Lo rav tamen nachlosay v'lamat tamen nachlosay ish lefi pekuda b'yuta nachlosay ach begori lecholik es aretz shmoi smatas avoysim yunchal. Oh, that's the other pasuk that threw us for a loop. It sounds like the Yotze Mitzrayim, the Schalkaritz, Al Pia Goyrol Techolik Nachalosim, Mein Rav, Mein Lamad. Again, all these psukim we're going to get very busy with in the next couple of dafim. But the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefaces Chalukas Eretz Yisrael with the Minyan HaShvatim. We count up all the Yidden, we come up with a census, and the next pasuk is Le'ela Techolik Haaretz B'Nachala B'Mispar Shemes. We just counted the Yidden. These are the Yidden you're going to give Eretz Yisrael too. The Abar Benel in his Pirush al HaTorah right here says that it's not a coincidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the Yidden, and then the next pasuk is La'ilo Techoli Ka'aretz Benachla B'mispashevitz. Obviously, these two stories are being juxtaposed for a reason. And the Abar Benel says the reason is as follows. The Yidden are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and when they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, they're going to fight a war. And it's Derech HaMelochim, it's the Derech of the kings, to know how many soldiers he has to go ahead and fight for him. And for that reason, the Yidden are about to fight the war of the kings, so you have to know how many Yidden there are. To Derech HaMelochim, says the Barbanel, Sheyimnu Chayaleim, Lavei Blimelchama. Right? How many soldiers do they have that are about to fight? And he said, not just that. The Yidden are going to enter Eretz Yisrael, they're going to divide the land. Okay, so how many Jews is the land going to be divided amongst? Right, you're about to enter the land, and you're going to fight the fight, and you're going to divide the land. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should go ahead and you count it. And Abar Benel says that if you're holding cheshbin in Pshuta Yisrael Mikra, this is the second time in Sefer Bamidbar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the Jews. Like, when's the first time? Right in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. How does Sefer Bamidbar start? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai ba'oyo moed ba'echol ha'chodesh ha'sheni ba'shona ha'shenes l'tzeis ha'mi'aretz Mitzrayim lemor su'u esroish kol adas b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachoysam l'veis ha'voysam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted the Yidden right in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Now, when did he count them? When was it? What was the date? It was Be'echol ha'chodesh ha'sheni b'shona ha'shenes l'tzeis ha'mi'aretz Mitzrayim. It was the second year for when the Yidden had left Mitzrayim. The Yidden left Mitzrayim Pesach, right? So we know when that is. So this is a full year later. It's on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's the second month. And this is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Su'u es roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael mishpachosim, I want you to count the Yidden. So it says that Bar Benel, again, sometimes, oymek pshut ha'shel mikra, I think we all got a better appreciation from it, from the Rashbam, right? That we're learning above a basra, but it's pirush al-tayr. But it's half of a fell, just when you sit down and just follow the psukim. In the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it's the second year, It's Rosh Chodesh Iyar. The Yidden are about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Right? This is before all the tzaris. This is before the Miraglim. Right? It was the Chet Ha'egel. So, yeah, that happened. That happened right away. Right, that happened. Mamush when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be mekabel the luchos. Oh, but vayoyim Hashem solachti kidvarech. That's not the isek now. The reason the Yidden are in the midbar for 40 years is because of the miraglim. The miraglim didn't happen yet. The miraglim is going to happen in a couple of parashas. Right, it's about midbar. You have nasa, you have baloyis, shlach. Yeah, that's when all the tzaras come. But until shlach, right, that's vayivka balaylahu. That's the bchir l'dayis. But until then, there's no tisha b'av yet. That all wasn't supposed to play itself out. So right now, the Yidden are supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. In fact, you know when the Jews were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. They were supposed to start traveling on Chaf Iyar. And they were supposed to go Derech Shloishes Yom. It's a pasuk in the Torah. They were supposed to go Derech Shloishes, it's a pasuk in Parashas Baal Oyscha. Derech Shloishes Yomim Chaf Iyar. Meaning they were going to enter the land in Cheshvin Chaf Gimel Iyar. That's really when they were supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Maybe some Kvitzas HaDerech. But that's when they were supposed to enter the land. So it says, now Barbanel, the Yidden right here in the beginning of Bamidbar are supposed to enter the land. Oh, Gavalik, they're supposed to enter the land. What does the king do? Counts them. Why do you count them? Kaminin Chayoloisov. I have to know how many people are fighting for me. We're about to enter the land. We're going to divide up the land. How many Jews are entering the land? Le'elot Ichor HaKaretz. So Hashem counts them. But you know what happened? You know what happened? Nasai, and then Baloischa, and Vayim Kimis Oinanim, and that gets delayed, and then all of a sudden, you have the Chet of the Meraglim, and then 40 years pass. But in Parshas Pinchas, it's already 40 years later, says the Barbanel. Now. Follow the Psukim. It's already 40 years later, and now the dust settled on all the tzaras and the gzeir of the Meraglim. That's already bygones. And now the Yidden are ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, Tzimtzveitimo. So you know what happens in Parshas Pinchas? It's Chazoras Hashir. Exactly what happened in the beginning of Parashas Ban Midbar, it chazes itself. It's chayzev in air, and now Hashem says, okay, so let's go back. It's 40 years later, a lot happened. A lot happened. But at the same time, now we can go back to what we initially had intended on doing, which is, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and we have to count all over again. And that's in Pshutai Shel Mikra, the Cheshbin of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the Yidden at this time. Now, if you look in Rashi, Chumash, Rashi doesn't say this. Rashi says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted the Bnei Yisrael in the beginning of Parashas by Midbar was Kishabola Hashrei Shechinosei Alei Emonam, because he was coming to be Mashrei Shechinosei. Right, Be'echad B'nisam Hukam HaMishkan U'Be'echad Be'ir Emonam. We once spoke out from the Maral and the Guri Aryeh. We spoke of that earlier in Masechtas Bava Basra with a Tosefes Kneich from Rab Shmuel Yankov. I understand. If Be'echad Benisan Hukama Mishkan, and you're counting for the Mishkan, so why are you first counting Mechaydashir? So that's already raid we've spoken about in the past. But that's the reason that Klai Yisrael was counted here. Why would the Yidden count in a Parshas Pinchas? That's also Rashi and Chumash. In Parshas Pinchas, Vayhi Acharei HaMagefa, Zok the Hilger Rashi, Mashal Uroya, Shenichnusu Ze'evim L'Toich Edroi, because this was right after the Magefa of Tzoreres HaMidyonim, that Magefa, the Magefa of Pinchas, and the Magefa of Bilam, and all that Tzoreres that happened with the Gilead Arayis of Midyan, and because of that, so many Jews died. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to know Minyan HaNesarim. Davar Acher, Rashi says, Kishiyotzim in Mitzrayim, V'nimsru l'moysha, nimsru loy b'minyan. Kadosh Baruch Hu had given Moshe Rabbeinu a pekodin. The pekodin was the Jews. Achshav shekar of lomus, ula hachzir tzoyne. This is 40 years later. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is waiting to, okay, you have to return the pekodin. Machzir b'minyan, you have to count them. How many Jews did I give you? And how many Jews are you giving me back? But this is Rashi. But Abarbanel says that in his understanding, in the Oymet Pshutai Shal Mikra, the Yidden were being counted when they entered Eretz Yisrael. They were supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael in Chodesh Iyar, so in Chodesh Iyar, he goes ahead and he counts them, and then 40 years happen, so 40 years later, Parashas Pinchas, okay, now we're ready to go in again. This is really the second counting. It's a chazara of that counting in Parashas Midbar, because unfortunately that was a false start, because that counting never really happened. It was meant for when the Yidden were going to enter Eretz Yisrael, but ultimately that generation did not enter Eretz Yisrael. But I'll tell you something very interesting. I mean, everybody knows this, but it's interesting when you look at it with mevugar diga oigen, right? With more mature eyes. And that is, there are four times in the Torah, I think, that the Yidden were counted. The Yidden were counted when they left Mitzrayim. Right? The Yidden left Mitzrayim, the Yidden were counted. The pasuk says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael me Ramses sukoisa, kesheish meois elef ragli hagvar v'mad bitav. The Yidden were counted again in Parshas Kisisa, right? Parshas Kisisa. When you shall count. Well, what was the purpose of that counting? Because every single Yid had to give a machzis hashekel, and really the hashlama of that parsha is in Parshas Pikudai, where the pasuk says bekel agulgoylus machzis hashekel b'shekel akodesh l'cholo over la pikudim, referring back to that counting of Parshas Kisisa mi ben esrim shana v'maylo l'sheish me'ois elef v'shloishes alaf v'chamesh me'ois v'chamisha. And then you have the counting in the beginning of Bamidbar, and then you have the counting in our parsha that we're going to be learning a lot about now here in Parshas Pinchas. Four times the Yidden were counted. When they left Mitzrayim, right when they start the Melechus HaMishkan, Be'echot Be'iyar, Lashon HaShenis, in the beginning of Bamidbar, and then at the end of the 40 years. If you look at the number, the census of the Jews, it was almost identical all four times that the Yidden were counted. Right, just a very basic observation. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael me'ramsei sukoisa, k'sheish me'yos elef ragli ha'gvarim, Levad mitov. So how many Yidden were there? Again, levad minoshim and levad mitov. It's kishesh meyos elef. It's approximately, right? Approximately 600,000. In Parshas Pekudei, that's that second counting. Bekol agul goylus machzis hashakol b'shakol hakodesh. L'choloiver ala pekudim iben esem shonav amaylo. L'sheish meyos elef u'shloishes alofim v'chamesh meyos v'chamishim. It's 603,550. In Parshas Bamidbar, which is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Bashana Hashenis, so the Yidden are counted, Vayu, Kol HaPekudim, Sheish Meyois Elef, U'Shloishes Alavim, V'Chameish Veis Chamishim. That number sounds familiar. 603,550. And then 40 years later, when the Yidden are counted again, 39 years later, so how many Yidden are there now? Eile Pekudei B'nei Yisrael, Sheish Meyois Elef, V'Olef Shvameis U'Shloishim. 601,730. So the first time when they leave Mitzrayim, it's 600,000. The second and the third times, it's 603,550. And then the fourth time, it's 601,730. Bekitzer, all four times, it was approximately 600,000 Yidden. That's interesting. The truth is, the Ramban in Parshas Bamidbar, he asks, then how is it possible that when the Yidden were counted, right when they started with the Melechus HaMishkan, their number was exactly what it was when they were counted several months later. It's approximately 6 months later when they were counted on Rosh Chodesh Iyar B'Shana HaShenis, let's say some Mimitzrayim. Right, they were counted right when they started. They collected the Machzis HaShekel when? Mamish, this time of year. Right, that's the Goyen. They started the Melechus HaMishkan, Sukkot time, and that was when the Chazaras Hanani HaKavod happened. So right now it's 603,550. And then 6 months later, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the number is identical. How could that be? It's an exact number. But the truth is, the number doesn't seem to change much. Throughout this entire 40-year period, the number always ends up being approximately 600,000. Something that the Rishonim, again, the Ramban talks about Minyan Beis and Minyan Gimel, why they're so exact. The Archaim HaKadosh also, in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, has a whole Arichas and Pshutei Shel Mikra. He's just struggling to understand Pasha Pshat in this. But the bottom line is, the number always seems to be approximately 600,000. But the truth is like this. Everybody knows that the number 600,000 in Yiddishkeit, 600,000 Jews, that number is not a mikra. And really, it has mekayris in Chazal. There's a fascinating Medrash Tanchuma. This Medrash Tanchuma is in Parshas Kisisa. The Medrash says as follows. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Minei Es Yisrael. I want you to count the Jews. I'm not the fun of Rebbeinu Shalom. Ksiv ha'yu zarecha kafar ha'aretz. Uksiv v'samti yezarecha kechol ha'yo. V'achshav ha'toymer kein. You told me that they're literally kafar ha'aretz. They're kechol ha'yo. Could somebody count the kafar ha'aretz? Could somebody count the kechol ha'yo? It's an impossibility. Amaloi. Zakadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, im bikash to lamed ha'minyonam, that if you want to count the minyonam of the Bnei Yisrael, toil, what you should do is, you should take Roshe Oisio Shal Shvatim. Take the Roshe Tevis, the first letter of each one of the Shvatim, the Tamoid Amunyanim, and you're going to come up with a number. Resh de Ruven, right? Ruven comes first. So Resh of Ruven, what's the gematria of Resh? It's 200. But in our case, it's at 1,000. It's Mosaya Melef, it's 200,000. Shin de Shimin, Shloich Meir Zelef, it's 500,000. Yud de Yehuda is 510,000. Yudi Yisachar is 520,000. Yudi Yosef is Shloshim Elef, meaning it's 530,000. Nun de Naftali is Chamishim Elef. Zayin de Zvulim is Shiva Salafim. Dalid de Don is Arba Salafim, 4,000. Gibel de God is Shloshim Salafim, that's 3,000. Beis de Binyamin is Shnei Alafim. Aleph de Usher is Elef. If you do the math, Hare Chamesh Meos Tishim de Shivim Elef. You're going to have 597,000. Now, you're missing three, right? What about the 3,000 that you don't have? Those are the 3,000 Yidden that were killed by the eagle. Shenema, the apostle says, but the bottom line is, you want to know how many Yidden there are. The Rosh Tevis of the Shvatim is the secret. The Rosh Tevis of the Shvatim is 597,000. I'm not telling you Torah Lech over here. This is a Medrash Tanchuma. I saw the Chassam Sofer says, that's a remez, su'u'es roish, kol adas b'nei Yisrael u'mishpachayisam. It says, you want to know the minyan ha-shvatim? Ki sisa es roish, su'es roish, the Rosh Tevis. Count the Rosh Tevis of the shvatim, and by counting the Rosh Tevis of the shvatim, you're going to know how many yidin there are. How many yidin? It's 597,000. It's 600,000. But there's another remez, and this remez is even more famous. And that comes from the Megala Amukis. All the Svar Makdoshim quote this from the Megala Amukis. It's in his Reish Nun Beis Oifanim on Va'aschanon. It's Oifin Kuf Pei Vav, where the Megala Amukis says that the word Yisrael is Rosh Tevis Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisius L'Teira. And the Oimik of that is that there are 600,000 Yidden, 600,000 Neshomos of Yidden, and each one of those neshamis is yoinek, it's chiyus, it gets its spiritual nourishment from one of the oisiyas in the Torah. And that's the remez of yesh shishim ribay oisiyas l'Torah, because it's mechuvin to the fact that there are 600,000. So this number 600,000 is the neshamis of Klal Yisrael. Maybe not the gufin always of Klal Yisrael, but the neshamis of Klal Yisrael. And it's merumis in the Rosh Tevis, who is Roish, kol adas b'nei Yisrael. It's also merumis in the Rosh Tevis of the word Yisrael, Yeshish and Ribe Yisrael, the Torah. What's the connection with the Oisius of the Torah and the Minyan Yisraelim? It's because each year is mechuvin, every single year is rooted in an ois in the Torah. And as a result, Yeshish and Ribay ois in the Torah. So I just want to end with one Dover Nifla, and that is, the Kadmoinim all quoted this Megala Amukas. Every single one came out. And they much it very much with this Megala Amukas, because really it's Sfunas. It's very, very deep. It's very, very sasam. Because if you go and you count the letters in the Torah, it's not 600,000. The number is closer to 300,000. But it's not 600,000. And the question is, what did the Heilige Megala Amukas mean to reveal when he said, Yesh Shishim Ribay Oisus L'Torah is 600,000 Oisius, Mechuvin to the 600,000 Yidden, that number, that theme that seems to always surface, L'chura, there are not 600,000 Oisius. And the truth is, there are Mami Fano in his Asarim Amoris, and one of his Mamorim, he brings this Megala Amukas, and he's very bothered by it. And he says, a pshat, al pi Kabbalah, the Chida in his Midbar Kedemos. This is in Ois Yod Sif Katan Vav, under Yisrael. He brings this also from the Megala Amukas. And then he says that his Zayda, the Baal Chesed Lavram, who we just quoted recently, his Zayda, the Baal Chesed Lavram, he said in his Sefer, said a pshat al pi Kabbalah, ben benoishal Kabbalah, to explain what the Megala Amukas meant when he said there's 600,000 Oisius in the Torah. There's a tshuva from the Heilig Chassam Sofer. This is in the Kovitz Tshuvas, that last Heilig. So this is in the Kovitz Tshuvas. It's Simin Nun Beis. Listen to the title of the tshuva. Nishalti im yesh iti lefarish hanimtza besforim ki yeshishim ribay oisiyas l'toyah. Va'amru ki Yisrael Rosh Tevis kein hu. Va'amdu le'minyan kol ha-tanach ve'ein bo'y kemoy elu. Even if you cheshbon the whole Tanakh. So the question is, what does this even mean? And the Chassam Sofer goes ahead and he says that I'm going to tell you a pshat, and I don't know, again, you have to speak to the Yodei Dover, but there's so much Kabbalah in this Chassam Sofer, which is, you know, Chassam Sofer usually says Ein li esek ben hastaris, which is, by the way, that's the way he starts the shtickle. Dvar malalu lo nimtzu b'shas kim b'sifrei ha-mikubalim ve'ein lanu esek ben hastaris. And then the Chassam Sofer is megala some hastaris, like ba'ofen niflu, where he says apshat, it's above my pay grade. But he goes ahead, he says apshat. You know what else brings this megala amukas? Mishmoy, and he mutches with it, the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua, in Mesechtes Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, he brings this Megala Mukas. But Al Kaponim, Kal Mekumas and Nishtabru, the Sei Pshat, and everyone mutched very, very stark. What is Pasha Pshat in this Megala Mukas? Where do you find that the Shishin Ribei Oseus L'Teira? So I'll tell you a Davar Nifla that I saw in the Torah from Rabbi Ruvim Ber Moshe. This is from Rabbi Ruvim Margolis. It's in his Sefer HaMikra VaHaMesaira. So again, Rabbi Ruvim Margolis loved trying to solve and decipher these puzzles and these enigmas and these riddles. And Kedarke BaKodesh, he brings the whole Ariches. So if you have that Sefer, it's Sifkot and Yud Beis. But really, he says that this Megala Mukas is a Pella. But there's other ploy when it comes to this Indian. And really, it's a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, which is where the Pnei Yeshua that we just mentioned before is. It's on that Gemara. The Gemara Badir says that we find that the Rishonim were referred to as Soifrim. So the Gemara says, Lefichach Nikru Rishonim Soifrim, Shayu Soifrim Kola Oisiyah Shebetayra. Because they used to count all the Oisiyah Shebetayra. Shayu Oimrim, they used to say, Vav de Gachayim. The letter Vav of the word Gachayim, that's a pasuk in Parshas, a word in Parshas Shmini, Chetzion Shal Oisiyah Shal Seif HaTayra. It's the midway point of all the Oisiyahs of the Torah. Darosh Darash Chetzion Shal Tevois. V'hiskaloch is the midway point of the Pesukim. Yicharsemenu Chazem Miyar Ayin Diyar Chetzion Shal Tehillim V'urachim Yichaparovim Chetzion the Pesukim. Either way, but Vav of Gachayim is Chetzion of all the Oisiyahs of the Torah. So the Gemara says, by Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef had an Ibaya, Vav de Gachayim Mehaikis Mehaik, that Vav, is it on this side or is it on that side? Meaning, it's the last letter of the first half or is it the first letter of the second half? Amale. So when Rabbi Yosef asked this question, so Abaya was there, Kedarkoi, and he said, no, nice, he said, Fatayra v'minu. Says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Why do we have to clear? We have to come up with Chakiris? Let's start counting the letters. Milo Yomer, Rabbi Barbachana, didn't Rabbi Barbachana once say that there was a situation and they started counting letters? Amale. So Rabbi Yosef told Abaya, inu b'ki b'chseris v'yaseris. They were big b'ki in the Chseres V'Yaseres. We're not B'Kiyin in Chseres V'Yaseres. So we can count from today till tomorrow and the number is going to be off. And as a result, we don't know if it's on this side or we don't know if it's on that side. So I saw Reb Ruvim Margolis, he brings this Gemara and he mutches very much in this piece. He says, if you count today, if you open up a Sefer Torah and you start counting the Oseya Sheba Torah, the number is going to be 304,805. That's the number. It's 304,805, which means Chetzion Shal Oisius is 152,403. That's what it's going to be. It's 152,403. That's half of 304,805. Yeah, it's an odd number, but it's 152,402 and a half, right? That's what the number is going to end up being. The Vav of Gachayin is number 157,236. It's off by like 5,000. So Rabbi Margolis says, I possibly don't know what's going on over here. In the times of the Amiram, it seemed very close. So we don't know the Chaseris and the Yeseris, but there's 5,000 Chaseris and Yeseris that we don't know about? How could that be? Can't be, Chas v'Shalom. It just seems too hard to accept. 5,000 words that we're not 100% sure about? Think of the implications of that. So can it say? So Rav Margolis said that I want to say a Dover Chadash. This is the way he prefaces. He says, Kol abir hazeh yoyrolanu, sha'aleinu livdoik mechadash, es ha'avona shahurgalnu ba, va'oz das kedosha nimtza. Right? Sometimes you have a kasha, you have to like revisit the whole premise of the question. Right? I heard this once from Shlomo Feivel Shlita. He said that sometimes you have a kasha on a sugya, so no, the avoid is to try to come up with a teretz. He said sometimes you have a kasha on a sugya, the kasha is so stark, the avoid is not to find the teretz. Where are we wrong? We're making a mistake. There's a premise, there's a hanacha that we're making that's a toys. The avoid is not to find a v'yesh loymar. We're missing something because the cash is too strong. So says Rabbi Margolis, kol abir hazeh yoyrolanu, sh'aleinu livdoik mechadosh, es ha'avona she'hu galnu ba, va'oz das kedosh nimtza. So he says, lulei de mistafina, this is what I think is going on over here. There's a Yerushalmi in Masech Tishkalim. The Yerushalmi says, Rav Pinchas b'shem Rav Shimon ben Lakish, HaTorah shenasan lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, the Torah that was given to us, nitno loy eish levana charusa be'eish shechayra. The cloth of the Torah was eish, and the oisius of the Torah was also eish. The cloth of the Torah was eish levana. The oisius of the Torah was eish shechayra. The cloth of the Sefer Torah is not arbitrary to the Sefer Torah. It's eish. Just like the osius of the Sefer Torah and Pnimius, it's the same thing. The osius is fire, mamish, and the klaf is fire, mamish. One is eish chayr, the other is eish lavan. That's why when you write a Sefer Torah, you use di, which is black ink, and you write it on a klaf, parchment, which is white. So it's black on top of white. It's mechuvin to this chazal, this Yerushalmi, that it's eish shchayra that's being written on top of eish lavana. And the emes is, there's a whole shulchan aruch of the spaces. When a sefer writes a sefer Torah, how much space there has to be in between letters, and how much space there has to be in between words. And when you have psuchos and stumos, and how much space there has to be in between parshias, and how much spaces do you have to have when you have the shira, and shiras hazinu is not the same as shiras hayam, right? These are all things that are Torah shlemos. The klaf is a sugya whenever you're dealing with the Sefer Torah. But really, the way Chazal saw the klaf was not so different than the way they saw the osius. They're both eish. One is eish chayra, the other one is eish lavana. The Gemara says, "Am I cotton daf chavav? Haroya Sefer Torah shen nisraf." If somebody sees a Sefer Torah being burnt, tzarich lekriya shtayim. You have to write kriya twice. Right? We once spoke about haroya Sefer Torah shen nisraf. This is an old raid bite. It's the first tshuva in Shailos Hatshuvos Mima Makim and Chelak Aleph from Rav Ashri. The first tshuva that he wrote was about a Sefer Torah shen nisraf in the Kovna Ghetto. And the question was with regards to rice and kriya and tanesim, and it's based on a tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi and the Shvos Yaakov, Dvarim Neflam. But this is a Gemara in Maikon Chavav. Haroya Sefer Torah shen nisraf, tzorech lekriya shtayim. You have to write kriya twice. Achas al aksav. You have to rise kriya because of the ksav, and you have to rise kriya because of the gvil. Now, how much space do you have to have in between words? In between words, there has to be space. How much space? You know what Chazal say? It's the amount of space that you need to write one ois. They use the ois as the moshul of how much klaf there has to be in between the words. Said Rabbi Ruvah Margolis, Lule de Mistafina, I would say that when the Megala Muka said, Yesh Shish and Ribay Oisis Latera, that there's 600,000 Oisis in the Torah, he didn't mean 600,000 letters. What he meant was that if you take the Cheshbin of Klaf, which is the Eish Levana, and the Cheshbin of the Oisis, which is the Eish Shchaira, and you figure out how much Mokoim Oisis there are, the number is going to be 600,000. Now, the truth is, this is something that it's very hard for us to understand. How do you make that cheshbon? It's hard to figure out. And Reuven Margolis says, don't let it bother you. Because even the Amiram couldn't figure it out. He said, because I believe that's what was going on in that Gemara, Masechtas Kedusha Daf Lamed, where the Gemara said that the Vav of Gochain is the midway point. So he said, let's count it. So Rav Yosef said, you're going to count it? He says, you can't count it. He said, what do you mean? They counted it once. And he said, no, they were Bekiyim and the Chseris V'Yaseris. We don't know the Chseris V'Yaseris. What, we don't know? How many Chseris V'Yaseris do we not? So Rav Margol said, I don't know if we don't know the Chseris V'Yaseris of the words. We don't know the Chseris V'Yaseris of the klaf. Because the amount of blank spaces you have to have is also a Bechin of Osius. And that also conforms to a Shulchan Aruch of Chseris V'Yaseris. And to go ahead and figure out how that works, I'm not 100% sure I can figure out. So in the footnote, right? In the footnote, the best schayra in Rabbi Ruvah Margolis' pieces are in the footnotes. So this is in footnote one. So listen to what he says. He says, Lefiz, I think he can be miyashav a tois v'sakasha. This is godless. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, tafayin chesam idbeis, that if somebody carries a klaf, a piece of parchment on Shabbos, right? So it's hoitza. You have to carry, however, a shir chashev. So what's a shir chashev? The minimum klaf that would be considered chashev, that's the iser hoitza. So it says, klaf, it's a mishnah. Kedei lichtev olav parsha ketana shev tefillin. It's small enough for you to be able to write the smallest parsha. Four parashas in the tefillin. The smallest parsha of the tefillin. What's the smallest parsha? Shema Yisrael. The parsha of Shema, that is the smallest of the four parashas. Shema v'ahavta. And that is the mount of klaf that if somebody would carry on Shabbos, he'd be over the malacha of Eitzah. So Tosfos and Masechta Soito, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, asks, he says, I have a smaller parasha in the Torah. It's in Soito, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. That's a clue to what Tosfos Kasha might be. the parsha of Saita. The parsha of Saita was also a parsha, and it was written on a cloth. And Tosfos says, count the letters. There's less letters in the parsha of Saita than there is in the parsha of Shema. And if that's the case, so why is cloth kidei lichtav all of parsha ketana shebet tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It should be the parsha of Saita. Says Rabbi Reuven Margolis, if you count the spaces that you have to have between the letters and the parish of Shema V'Ahavta, there's less spaces in the Shema V'Ahavta than you have in the parish of Saita. It's totally in the sugi of Saita, Ayin Shav. So he says, Enochinami, letters, there's less letters in the parish of Saita. But when you chesh ben oisius, klaf is also oisius, because the mokim oisius, that's also eish. One is eish levana, the other one is eish chayda. And if that's the case, the smallest parish here is the parish of Shema. It's not the parish of Saita. Rabbi Margolis says, you know, there's another thing that bothered me in the Gemara. He says, that Gemara, Masechtas Kedushin, right? So the Gemara said, what's the midway point of all the Oisius in the Torah? It's the Vav of Gochay. And by Rabbi Yosef, Vav the Gochay, Mehaigisa, Mehaigisa. Is it on this side of the river or is it on that side of the river? Rabbi Margolis says, you know what always bothered me? Maybe it's the middle. Maybe there's an odd number and maybe it's the middle letter. How do you know it's not an odd number? Meaning there's a third possibility. It could be the last of the first half, the first of the second half, or maybe it's not an even number. It's not two even halves. Maybe it's an odd number, and it's actually the middle number. Oh, and by the way, Rabbi Margolis said, I counted the numbers, right? And if you would count it today, it's 304,805. So it actually is an odd number. So how did Rabbi Yosef know it's not an odd number? You know, we knew that because he knew Yeshishim Ribay Oisius Latayra. He knew what the number was. The Megala Mukis was already Megala to us what the number was. The number is 600,000. The number is an even number. The way you come up with the number 600,000 is by cheshbining not just the Diyoy, not just the Eish Shechayra, but also the Klaf, which is the Mokima Oisius. It's also the Eish Levana. See, he knew it was an even number. And the Vav de Gichain is obviously, it's obviously that, but the question is it the last of the first half? Or is it the beginning of the second half? That was the Shaila. And they said, we don't know the Chseris Yeseris. Not that there's 5,000 Chalila Oisius that we're off by. That can't be. But when we don't know the Chseris Yeseris means in the blank spaces, on the Klaf side, on the Ish Levana side, that's where we don't know. So said Rabbi Reuven Margolis, pun intended, fire. This is Eish Chayra and it's Eish Levana. A little bit, he says, maybe a little bit of a pshutei shel mikra diga understanding of what the Megala Mukas meant. Seidus HaTayra that we have from the Chassam Sofer, that we have from the Rama Mifano, that we have from the Chidos Zeida, the Baal Chesed Lavram. But he said, it could be there's a pashat the pshat as well, and that is when you cheshven the klaf as being mokim ha'isis, which Chazal certainly considered it, maybe then you can actually, it actually makes sense that the number would come up to the number 600,000.